The State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Bruzada Carrera.
Here.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Here.
Ranking Member Robinson.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Guerrero. Chamberlain.
Here.
Edmonds.
Present.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
Nixon. Persons Malika excused. Steele.
Here.
Stevenson.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Emma, members, and by your presence, we have a quorum. I want to welcome everyone to the State Administration and Technology Appropriations Subcommittee. Please make sure that cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on silent mode. So we have a full agenda today. Let's go ahead and get started. Representative Payne, you're recognized to explain HB 229.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Good morning. Thank you for hearing House Bill 229 for your consideration. 229 is actually a Public Service Commission rules, and I want to go through some background before I present the bill. The Florida Public Service Commission is, as you know, most of you know as PSC, is an arm of the legislature and is charged with regulating the rates and service of electric, natural gas, water, and wastewater investor-owned utilities. It also has the regulatory oversight over certain telecommunications services. The Commission is a trust fund agency receiving funds from utilities each year in the form of regulatory assessment fees. They're levied by rule by the Commission. The legislature requires each user's fee to cover the cost of regulation, and the Commission receives no general fund revenue. In 2023, the legislature granted language in the implementing bill for Senate Bill 2502, which exempts Public Service Commission regulatory assessment fees from legislative ratification. And that expires in July of 2024. House Bill 229 makes permanent the exemptions for PSC regulatory assessment fee rules from legislative ratification. So under this bill, the PSC will continue to provide statements of estimated regulatory cost, and the passage of the bill will enable the Commission to once again prudently manage its trust fund revenues, its revenue streams, and statutory obligations. That's the bill, Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we're in public testimony. We have Keith Heatrick, the Public Service Commission, waving in support. Sam Wagner, Florida League of Cities, waving in support. Lance Watson, the Public Service Commission, also waving in support. Members, we are now in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Payne, you're recognized.
Wave closed, Chair.
Having waved, Emma, please call the roll on the bill.
Chair Bruzada Carrera.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson.
Yes.
Representatives Arrington. Guerrero.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Edmonds.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Maggard.
Yes.
Maney.
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon.
Yes.
Persons Malika. Steele.
Yes.
Stevenson.
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
And by your vote, the bill is reported favorable.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
All right. Up next, Representative Gia Lombardo, you're recognized to explain HB 473.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. HB 473 is a proactive attempt to incentivize businesses to do everything they can to prevent cyber attacks and data breaches. For businesses that align with updated cybersecurity frameworks and follow incident reporting requirements, they have the presumption against liability in a lawsuit that alleges negligence. Local governments will enjoy the similar presumption if they comply with recent enacted cyber standards. If these entities show alignment on updated cyber framework or standards, they will be able to dismiss the litigation, saving themselves and consumers and the public thousands, if not millions of dollars. Plaintiffs are able to rebut these presumptions by showing that the business failed to take reasonable precautions to adopt cybersecurity framework, and that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, are there any questions? Representative Steele, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for bringing this great bill. Does this include or exclude foreign companies operating in the United States or in Florida?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is going to exclude any company that resides in Florida, for it's Florida specific. So,
Any further questions? Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Rep. I guess, and I kind of had this conversation with you briefly, how would someone be able to hold a business accountable if their stuff was breached? How would they still be able to have some type of recourse?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this doesn't prohibit anybody from filing a suit, right? This is, so right now, I think, I'm going to kind of frame this up for you. Right now, most of these cyber attacks, especially on our healthcare industry, a lot of attorneys are getting hit with a lot of cyber and data breaches right now, cyber attacks and data breaches. What this bill does, it says, hey, if you're meeting these standards and you're substantially meeting all these frameworks that the government or industry has said you should meet these in order to protect yourselves, and you can demonstrate that at the front door, that right there will give them liability protection. Now, if the plaintiff decides that there was negligence and can demonstrate it, then that's absolutely up to them to determine that. So this does not prohibit anybody from filing a lawsuit.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you. So you said substantially. Mm-hmm. Is it defined in the bill, or can you give me, clarification of what substantially means?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So absolutely. So if you look at the NIST framework, there are many different elements inside of that framework, right? It's a cybersecurity framework that's published by the federal government. We actually, in Florida, we are stepping into requiring local governments to meet this framework. Now, that framework doesn't capture everything, and not every industry has to, some of the standards inside that framework or some of the requirements, they don't necessarily meet because it's not part of their industry. So that's what substantially means. They have to substantially meet the requirements in that framework and demonstrate that. And usually, with most audits, I know that NIST, CGIS, HIPAA, there are audits, and there are companies that come in to audit and adjudicate them that they meet these standards. There's software programs now that do it. They crawl the entire platform. It says, hey, you're meeting these standards, SOC 2. There's a ton of them. So if they can demonstrate that and they meet up to date, then they can absolutely get liability protection if they meet these standards or substantially meet them.
Follow up. One last one. So where my confusion or my concern comes up is in paragraph 5, and maybe I'm just not interpreting it right, but down here where it says implement of cybersecurity programs that is in compliance with this section is not evidence of negligence. So I'm trying to does not constitute negligence. Per thing. So I'm trying to figure out what type of evidence would need to be shown for them to be able to, make that claim.
Whatever.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. An audit, right? A security audit would demonstrate that, or any type of, there's log audits, there's different platforms and cybersecurity platforms that do these audits for local governments, for companies. If you can demonstrate that and say, I am up to date, I've met the NIST requirements on pushing updates as updates come through, then you can show that in a report. I mean, audits happen all the time. We're doing it to local governments and state agencies.
Thank you. Members, any further questions? Seeing none, we are in public testimony. Marianne Furman, wishing to speak as an opponent of the bill. You're recognized.
Thank you. Marianne Furman, plaintiff's lawyer in Palm Harbor, Florida. We know the sponsor of the bill has been talking to the Florida Justice Association. We appreciate that open line of communication, and we understand the intent of the bill. We want to encourage governments and businesses to purchase cybersecurity insurance to protect customers when an event occurs. But 40% of small businesses and 46% of large businesses report that their claims are denied when an event does occur for lack of security protocols. So what we already have in Florida is a cyber insurance gap, where the insurance companies are already denying claims for businesses, leaving both the customer and the business out to dry with no coverage when these things do occur. So by requiring only substantial compliance, which is not defined, is going to lead to more denials by the insurance companies. This bill should be strengthened to require actual compliance and adherence to these protocols. And if you're not going to require full compliance to the standards, then evidence should at least be admissible in trial to a plaintiff as proof of negligence. So we respectfully request you vote no on this bill so that businesses aren't paying for insurances that will never actually pay their claims and customers are protected. Thank you.
Thank you. Adam Bassford, Associated Industries of Florida, waving in support. Tiffany Garling, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waving in support. Sam Wagner, Florida League of Cities, waving in support. Sarah Suski, TechNet, waving in support. That concludes any further public testimony. Seeing none, we are in debate. Members, any debate? Representative Steele, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for bringing this great bill. You're going to have litigation no matter what we do, unless we put something in law. An owner of a software company, you know, we did everything we could, SOC 2 audits, encrypted at rest, pen tests, both internal and external, and you're going to have breaches because technology can't keep up with the hackers. And so I commend you for taking this approach, and, you know, I look forward to helping you in any way I can, supporting you on this bill. Thanks.
Members, any further debate? Representative Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And this is just a little difficult for me, mainly because I do believe that we shouldn't have, like you talked about, a whole lot of different class action suits. But I do want to make sure that the everyday Floridian, when they do have a breach or they are in this, they come across something like this, that they also have the opportunity to get what they need too. And I'm just not sure that at this time this does that. So I don't know. I'm going to do a quick prayer.
Thank you, members. Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Giolombardo, you're recognized to close on HB 473.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just a really quick, we did talk to the FJA. We did talk to folks about the substantial component. And the reason why we actually disagree is because there are many organizations and industries that not all the compliance meets, right? Not all the requirements, I should say. They don't need to meet all the requirements. So if a private company that maybe needs to be PCI compliant, they're part of healthcare, they're meeting different types of components of these different standards, and they don't have to meet maybe SOC 2 or a certain standard, or they don't meet fully the PCI compliant because maybe they're not actually storing credit card information, maybe they're just processing it. That would be substantial, right? They meet most of it. They don't need to meet all of it. And to say that they have to fully meet based on insurance policies, which my bill does not talk about insurance policies, it's strictly on litigation, is not doing any service to our businesses, our community. And quite honestly, a lot of these cases are these massive class action suits that are happening, and your constituents or the consumer, the citizens, they're getting $10 on a gift card. Right? And that's the reality of it. So I hope I can get your support. I appreciate the time, and I hope to get your support on this bill.
Thank you. Having closed, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosetta Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
No, not at this time.
Arrington? Ferrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon?
No.
Persons Malika? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
9 yeas, 3 nays. Representative Edmonds? 4 nays.
Thank you. And by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you. All right, up next, Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to explain HB 989, Department of Financial Services.
Thank you, Chair Buceta Cabrera, Vice Chair Mooney, Ranking Member Robinson, and committee members. HB 989 streamlines the processes of the Department of Financial Services and aims to protect Florida's consumers. Amongst other changes, the bill establishes a tax liaison to provide a free assistance for Florida taxpayers on federal tax issues. It improves functionality within the MySafe Florida Home Program, which has been very successful, facilitates swift and decisive action on insurance claims, addresses unlicensed activity in the insurance adjusting space, establishes uniform fire safety standards for emerging technologies and trends, and it ensures that all kinds of unclaimed property are united with the rightful owner, and that is the bill, Madam Chair. There's no Quite a few amendments.
Yes, thank you. We have four amendments. So Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to explain Amendment 310417.
I have them listed as amendments 1 through 4. So
all right, number one.
Number one is the amendment ensures that appointments for the Funeral, Cemetery, and Consumer Services Board are confirmed by the Florida Senate.
All right, questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, public testimony on the amendment. No public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, all in favor say yay. Yay. All opposed, nay. Show the amendment is adopted. All right, we're on Amendment 2. Representative LaMarca, you're recognized to explain Amendment 2, barcode 492603.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment removes Section 21 of the bill related to a notice of change in policy terms. The language is more germane to another bill related to consumer protection.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, public testimony, no public testimony on the amendment. Debate on the amendment, members? Seeing no debate, all in favor of the amendment say yay. Yay. Oh, it's a little better. All right, all opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. All right, we are now on amendment. Oh, did you want to close on your amendment?
Waiving all the amendments.
All right, perfect, there we go. I knew it was coming. So amendment number 3 by Representative LaMarca, barcode 143637. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. This amendment is a technical change and reverts to current statute.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, public testimony, no public testimony, debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, would you like to close on the amendment? Wave close. All in favor of the amendment, yay.
Yay.
All right, we're getting better. All opposed, nay. The amendment is adopted. All right, we are on amendment number 4 by Representative LaMarca, barcode 928171. You're recognized to explain amendment 4.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment removes Section 48 of the bill and reverts to current statute. The issue can be addressed budgetarily at the department's level and doesn't require statutory changes this year.
Any questions? Seeing no questions, no public testimony on the amendment, debate on the amendment, seeing no debate. Close.
Wave
close. All in favor of the amendment, yay.
Yay.
There we go. All opposed, nay. Show the amendment adopted. Now we are back on the bill as amended. Members, do you have any questions on the bill as amended? Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Just had questions. Wanted to kind of know, or you can give me some more insight about the federal tax liaison. Kind of want to know what they do.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, Ranking Member, thank you for the question. In a previous committee, it was a late amendment, but so I was as new at it as the members were, so I apologize for not having more information then. The Department of Revenue currently has a Florida tax advocate that handles Florida-specific issues. Many of their calls are related to federal tax issues, and this liaison would address the calls from Floridians to deal with the federal government issues, federal government tax issues.
Follow-up?
Yeah, so this is an additional position. It's going to be different from it's going to do the same thing, but at the federal level, I guess you're saying.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, so the advocate is dealing strictly with Florida state tax issues. This would deal with federal IRS issues separate.
You're recognized.
And I don't, thank you, and I'm not sure. I guess my question is, are we allowed to do that since it's a federal? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how the state is going to address federal concerns.
You've recognized.
Thank you. So the purpose of this position is to assist a Floridian with a federal tax issue. They're not going to have the answers. They will be able to hopefully get better service with the IRS. I don't know if any of the members have ever tried to call the IRS with a tax question. Typically, you send a letter off, and in 90 days later, you might get an answer, possibly the next tax season. Don't know. But the hope is that we can get some better answers, quicker answers from the federal, from the IRS. Don't know they're going to be the answers that people want to get, but they'll be hopefully expedited.
Any further questions, Representative Robinson? Members, any further questions? Seeing no questions, we are now in public testimony. Eric DeCampos, National Insurance Crime Bureau, waves in support. Chase Mitchell, Department of Financial Services, waves in support. Wayne Bernie Bernoska, Florida Professional Firefighters, waves in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we are in debate. Members, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate, Representative Lamarca, you're recognized to close on HB 989.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I appreciate your support on this bill. The Department of Financial Services agency bill is pretty comprehensive every year, and I've had the privilege to work with the agency the last couple of years. I did reach out to everybody via phone, but I want to be very public and say I did not have Representative Edmonds' phone number, but I'm going to get that after this and make sure we can communicate. With that, I close.
Having closed, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosado Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney? Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representative Arrington? Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon?
Yes.
Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
13 yes.
Thank you. And by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you. All right. Up next, we have Representative Esposito presenting on behalf of Representative Yeager. You're recognized to explain HB 1331.
Good morning. Thank you. This bill directs the Department of Management Services to create and maintain a forced labor vendor list of companies that have provided to an agency a commodity product in whole or in part. And it allows the agency to also not accept a bid proposal or enter into an agreement with a company on that forced labor list. That is the bill.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, do you have any questions? Seeing no questions, we are in public testimony. Any public testimony? Seeing no public testimony, we are in debate. Members, any debate? All right. Seeing no debate, Representative Esposito, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having wave closed, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosado Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington? Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Yes. Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon?
Yes.
Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. All right, don't go too far. Representative Esposito, you're recognized to explain HB 909.
Thank you, Chair. Members, this bill allows highlight permit holders to lease their facilities to other current licensed permit holders within a 35-mile radius.
Members, are there any questions? Seeing no questions, we are in public testimony. Seeing no public testimony, members, we are in debate. Is there any debate, members? All right, no debate. Representative Esposito, you're recognized to close on HB 909.
Wave close.
Having wave close, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosado Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington? Barrero?
No.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 1 nay.
Thank you. And by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you. Up next, we have Representative Griffiths presenting on behalf of Representative Tremont, HB 605. You're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As pointed out, I'm pitching relief for Representative Tremont this morning. So HB 605 is a bill related to asset protection products, which are governed by Florida's motor vehicle sales finance laws. Current law only authorizes guaranteed asset protection products, as we know it as gap coverage, which provides a waiver of your loan balance should your car be destroyed or you are over more than your car owes. This bill expands the scope of gap by authorizing some of the products for consumers to choose voluntarily for additional protections, and that is the bill.
Thank you. Having explained the bill, seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Members, are there any questions? All right, seeing no questions, we are in public testimony. Ashley Khalife, Guaranteed Asset Protection Alliance, waving in support. Any further public testimonies? Seeing none, we are in debate. Members, is there any debate on the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Griffiths, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Having wave close, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosado Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson? Representatives Arrington, Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays. Thank you. By your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you. Up next, we have Representative Brackett. You are recognized to explain HB 1347, Consumer Finance Loans.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. Members, HB 1347 is a consumer-focused bill that seeks to help Floridians with obtaining and managing consumer loans by making our state's rate caps competitive with others offered in other states, while also increasing regulation for these lenders and increasing protection to consumers. That is the bill.
Thank you. Seeing no amendments, we are in questions. Representative Nixon, you're recognized in question.
Thank you, Chair. Can you tell me, why are we increasing these interest rates, especially during a time where folks are struggling with inflation?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're increasing the rates to be competitive across the country. Right now, there were 42 states that already do this. Right now, our Floridians are subject to borrowing money online. They don't have this available to them. And so those rates get as high as 225% online. So we're trying to bring the business back here and help protect Floridians.
Further questions? Representative Nixon, you recognize and follow up.
Thank you. I'm still not understanding, how does increasing interest rates make it more competitive? Can you break that down to me? It seems like it's making it more unaffordable for Floridians.
Sounds a little bit like debate, but Representative Brackett, to the best that you can, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It makes it more competitive by bringing more companies to do this type of business into Florida. Right now is the member association across the state of Florida. There's only 7 companies that are members of that association in the state of Florida. We need to bring that business back and stop subjecting Floridians to having to go online to borrow this money outside the state where they're not protected.
Representative Steele, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Is it because the companies that are here with those lower rates will not issue credit to those people because of their credit score or risk tolerance?
You're recognized.
That is the case a number of times, yes.
Member Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Are you concerned that since the companies here are not issuing those loans, are you concerned that the folks who do go into agreements with these people who are already struggling, will they have you're not concerned with them not being able to pay it back?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Right now, statistically, about 7% don't pay it back. That's about it in this arena of lending right here.
Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. Can we still offer these types of loan without increasing the interest rates?
You're recognized.
We can still offer this type of loan without increasing the rates, but it's not being effective right now. People are going online. 45% of Floridians borrow their money online from other companies from other states.
Representative Robinson.
Thank you. My question, I guess, has to do what type of education. I see we're increasing the rates, but is there any educational component to work with the consumer to do away with this altogether? Because it's really not beneficial.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Right now, thanks for the question. We've talked about this before. Right now, that's being done by the individual companies. Okay, there is talk about increasing that. There's another meeting set up tomorrow with some of the local lenders to make sure, see if that's an option. But there is talk of doing more financial responsibility type.
Any further questions, members? All right, seeing no further questions, we are in public testimony. Scott Jenkins, Florida Financial Services Association, wishing to speak as a proponent of the bill. Right behind you.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for taking the time to hear this good bill today. My name is Scott Jenkins. I'm the Executive Director of the Florida Financial Services Association. You've also probably talked to me on other issues because I'm a contract lobbyist here in town. I just want to make something very clear about this bill. It does not raise interest rates, period. It raises interest rate caps. There is a difference. Currently, if you are a person in Florida who would get a commensurate rate of 31 or 32% based on your credit history or lack thereof, you cannot get a loan from a Florida lender. You cannot get a loan from a lender that's regulated by the state of Florida in our space. You cannot get a loan larger than $1,000 in Florida. Currently, 40% of the country has less than $400,000 in savings, and currently 60% have less than $1,000 in savings. We are a good members of the community. In the last 2 years, according to OFR, our kinds of lender have received the lowest amount of complaints of any kind of lender. We've only received 31 complaints in the last 2 years. in 2022, $3.6 billion were lent to Floridians from out-of-state lenders at rates as high as 225%. Right now, Floridians can't go into one of our lenders and then walk out the door and go find another lender that can compete and work hard for their business. Usually, if there is a lender from our group in their community, it's the only lender in town. In Tallahassee, as of this size, there are only four locations that we have that we know of in the thing. Since last year, we tried this bill last year, there was 170 brick-and-mortar locations in the state. Now there's 150. We have had 20 more leave the state. What else can I provide you? 30% of our counties are credit at risk or credit adverse, meaning that there are not the lending choices there for the population demographics that exist. So there's counties where there's no lender for the people that live there that we could lend to. Banks don't make the loans in our space because it's $0 to $25,000, a low dollar amount. They only make those loans to people that probably have a portfolio already at their banks. Why are we allowed to lend at higher rates? It's because we are lending our money. We are lending company money, or money that we borrowed ourselves that had a cost. Banks are capped at 18%, which is also equal to the current usury rate, because they are lending out other people's money, their depositors. It is a safe product. We work hard with our customers to help them understand. It's equal payments every month. We work with them well to help them when they come into hard times as well. I'm here for any questions if you have any.
All right, seeing no questions, thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Woodall, Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Policy, is an opponent. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So let me be clear. We're not opposed to these loans. Many people need them. They benefit from them. Our concern is charging them exorbitant interest rates. And there's conflicting information here, because on the one hand, we hear people are going online to get loans because we aren't giving them a loan because we've determined that they're not worth the risk. However, if we can charge them a higher interest rate, well, then we guess we'll take the risk. That's kind of counterintuitive, because if they're not worth the risk at a lower rate, how are they worth the risk at a higher rate? It was stated that we're not increasing the interest rate in this bill. However, if you look at your staff analysis, it has a little chart and it says loan amount $5,000. Current maximum interest rate 26.4%, proposed 36%. In my math, that's higher. Loan amount $10,000. Current rate, 22.2%, proposed rate, 36%. Loan amount, 15,000, current rate, 20.8, proposed, 34%. Loan amount, 25,000, current rate, 19.2%, proposed, 31.2%. So on some of these increase rates, it's twice. And we are concerned that we are putting folks who are already in vulnerable situations at risk of never being able to get out of debt and pay off these rates. That's our concern. We would urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, Zane Smith, wishing to appear in person with AARP, an opponent.
Hello, my name is Zane Smith. I'm the Director of Advocacy for AARP Florida, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the nearly 3 million members that we have here in the state of Florida. Like Karen said, we're not opposed to the loan product. We understand that it's a necessary financial service that underbanked or individuals who cannot go to traditional banking institutions must rely on. But to add a little bit more perspective, a large group of the borrowers are our older Floridians. We don't have a lot of data that tracks who are borrowing these, but a lot of our older Floridians and Americans across the country are starting to rely on these type of loans. Top two reasons: one, debt consolidation; second reason, paying off credit cards. So they're already in debt when they're going to get these loans. So our position at AARP is we're currently opposed to the bill as written. We would like to see additional consumer literacy put into the bill. We've worked with Scott and the stakeholders to try to get some language. So our belief is people need to know what they're signing up for. And if we can get a little bit more consumer education on the front end and they walk out of a loan situation knowing exactly what they're going to be responsible for, that's better than nothing. So as of right now, I encourage you to vote no and encourage that financial literacy be added to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other public testimony, we are now in debate. Members in debate, Representative Nixon, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I remember this bill from last year, and I'm going to urge all my colleagues to vote it down again. I hear what the proponents of this bill are stating, but, like, we're Florida. We should want to do better. We shouldn't want to exploit Floridians just because other companies are exploiting Floridians over the internet. And so I really take issue with this. And to what Ms. Woodall stated, right, like, these products, I'm not against these products. These products are great. However, when you are increasing the interest rates over 10%, that's pretty bad. And it's going to put people in a cycle of poverty. And so with that, y'all, like, please vote down on this.
Representative Robinson, recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Brackett. I'm just in a situation. These type of loans affect my community, I believe, a little bit more so than others. And I agree completely. I spoke with you earlier about the education component. That would be helpful. And so if I could work with you in any way or if there's anything I can do to get that component in there, then it would make it better. But at this time, I wouldn't be able to support it because it's, like she said, it's creating a cycle. And we want to stop the cycle, not continue it.
Representative Steele.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for bringing this bill. I want to point out, now maybe you can discuss this in your close, that maximum number is not necessarily the maximum number that is going to be charged. It is allowing them to exceed what is currently there, but it can be way below that based on the person's ability to pay back the loan. These loans are absolutely needed in the area, and if we don't have that capability, those individuals are going to get, you know, brought up to a 225% instead of 35 or 36%. So you got to think about your Floridians that way. It's either we increase the rate a nominal amount and allow that loan to go out, or they go outside the state and pay somebody 200%. So it is a protection. It's not extorting, you know, your local constituents. It's helping them out. Thanks.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair. I have spent a good amount of time on this because we had a very abusive pilot program a couple of years ago, and we had this existing regulated group that had fairly low caps and for subprime lending. And rather than start with a pilot that let people kind of wander around in a retail setting and offer much worse products, if there was a need, that we should look at it in the interest rate arena for the already regulated entities. And so I spent some time at some of the stores and storefronts and things that operate some of the major providers of these loans. And I thought it was ironic that in some cases, the riskier, they could go into a furniture store or something next door to them and get a more aggressive loan with less protections than if they'd gone next door to this entity where they sit down and look at their budgets and things like that and address affordability. We are increasing the accountability. In the past, there has not been a lot of accountability for these loans. We're going to get more data back on them. And I will be supporting the bill. I wish that no one needed subprime lending, and I certainly would support any efforts to improve financial literacy so people don't get themselves in a bind. But I have seen some of the damage that some of the other lending that's already happening in stores and pet stores and different things that's much more aggressive than this. And it's a niche that if we have more return, if the entities have more return, they are more willing to take on the risk, a slightly higher risk of perhaps a loan going bad. And I think they showed me some pretty good numbers on that. So I will be supporting the bill, but I understand the sentiments of the members who are concerned about it as well. Thank you.
Any further? Representative Barrero, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Representative Brackett, for bringing this bill forward. I think at the heart of this question is whether or not consumers are intelligent enough to make decisions for themselves. I personally don't believe that the government should be in a position to say to consumers, you're smart enough to take out this loan or you're not smart enough to take out this loan. We should totally remove the government out of it. Let's remove these caps that aren't, quite frankly, are unnecessary. Consumers know what is good for them or what is not, and they should bear the risk of that decision. So I thank you for bringing this good bill forward.
All right. Seeing no further debate, Representative Brackett, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, member, for the comments. Let's be clear on something. We're not setting the interest rates at all. We're setting the maximum allowable rate to be charged, okay? Somebody said the interest rates went up over 10%. We actually, last year, took the tiered section and made it all flat rate of 36%. We got the message sent to us. They didn't like that. We went back and we tiered it again, and they're going up 6% across each tier, what they're going up. I think it's time that we make these changes. We get competitive here in the state of Florida. We let our Floridians have more choices, and we do what's right for them. And with that, I close.
Thank you. Having closed, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Rosetta Cabrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson?
No.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon?
No.
Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
By your vote, the bill is reported favorably.
Thank you.
All right, up next, members, we're going to go to our very own Representative Maggard. You are recognized to explain HB 1335, Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Vice Chair, Chair, members of the subcommittee. HB 1335 is an act relating to the Department of Business Professional Regulation Agency Bill. This bill makes technical changes that revolve large around modernization, streamlining of the agency. That is the bill, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Having explained the bill, we do have one amendment. You're recognized to explain amendment barcode 024833.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment reduces the requested recurring appropriation from $315,000 to $95,000. That's the amendment.
Any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, no public testimony on the amendment. We are in debate on the amendment. Any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Wave close. All in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay. Yay.
All opposed, nay. All right, show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Members, are there questions on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions on the bill, we are in public testimony. Derek Miller, Department of Business and Professional Regulation, proponent waiving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing none, we are in debate on the bill as amended. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Maggard, you're recognized to close on HB 1335.
Wave close.
Having wave close, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Brusada Carrera?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney?
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Barrero?
Yes.
Chamberlain?
Yes.
Edmonds?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes, ma'am.
Nixon? Person Zelenka? Steele?
Yes.
Stevenson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays.
And by your vote, the bill is reported favorably. Thank you. And last but certainly not least, we have our Vice Chair, Representative Mooney. You are recognized to explain HB 1579, Occupational Licensing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. HB 1579 provides a procedure for Construction Industry Licensing Board to issue a license to a registered contractor in good standing who was registered locally during calendar years 2021, 2022, or 2023, in circumstances where the local jurisdiction no longer issues local licenses. This will allow contractors with long years of experience to continue to work in their trades. This is limited to the contractor trade categories in current law, including local residential, HVAC, roofing, plumbing contractors who are not required to have a state license. Eligible applicants must meet the insurance and financial responsibility requirements for contractors in current law. These licensees are subject to disciplinary control and oversight by the Construction Industry Licensing Board. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And we do have one amendment. Representative Mooney, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 358113.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment revises the information to be submitted by an applicant for registration under the bill to modify the evidence of eligibility in the following respects. Evidence that the local jurisdiction does not have a license type available rather than does not require for the applicant's category of work, and evidence based on a website notification, email, or letter as provided in the bill that such license type is not available in the local jurisdiction rather than such licensing is not required or available. The amendment revises the bill to conform to the procedure handling license, renewal, cancellation notices to the same procedures that DBPR uses for all other licensing renewals and cancellation notices, which provides for mailing or emailing of such notices to the address of record provided by each licensee rather than by mail as provided by the bill, and that is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Questions on the amendment? All right, no questions on the amendment, no public testimony on the amendment. We are in debate on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Having waived, all in favor of the amendment say yay. All opposed, nay. All right, show the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Questions from the members on the bill as amended? Seeing no questions on the bill, we are in public testimony. Jared Grigas, Florida Association of Counties, waving in support. Members, we are in debate. Any debate? Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on HB 1579. Representative Mooney.
Wave close.
Having wave close, Emma, please call the roll.
Chair Brusadic Herrera.
Yes.
Vice Chair Mooney.
Yes.
Ranking Member Robinson. Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Barrero.
Yes.
Chamberlain.
Yes.
Edmonds, Harris, Holcomb,
yes,
Maggard,
yes,
Maney,
yes, ma'am,
Nixon, Persons Malenka, Steele,
yes,
Stevenson,
yes, 13 yes,
0 nays. Show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, members. This concludes our agenda for today. Representative Arrington moves, we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.